flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by retired colonel in the Israeli Air Force, Alex Gann. He has joined us many, many times to give us kind of the inside perspective and look of what's happening. Colonel, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good evening. Over here,
so,
please.
Colonel, absolutely. Colonel, we have been in this ceasefire status in order to begin the hostage transfer. That started. The other day, there was a couple of incidents that happened on the Gazan side with Israeli hostages that were being released. In your view, how has that gone so far? What is the reaction of the Israeli population to what has happened thus far? And specifically, talk about what happened the other day.
Well, first of all, everybody is... excited and anxious to see the return of those hostages after a year and 3 months of spending time in tunnels and hell. So each and every one of them is a celebration by its own to the whole nation. And I can say that the first ones who have returned basically are in an acceptable physical situation. We do not know their mental situation, and definitely we do not hear any of their stories. I think they do not tell anything yet because they don't want to jeopardize the procedure. And if they start telling stories about atrocities, then something will stop the procedure. What happened in Gaza is not in the first time. Every time they release the hostages, they make a whole big ceremony out of it. And actually what happened in Khan Yunis yesterday was it actually they lost control of the situation. And the whole mob was trying to touch or scare or do something to these people. There was a jet coming through, so it will take a half a second. Anyhow... One second. I apologize. Anyhow,
no problem.
What happened was really scary. Yeah, thank you. It was really scary. And we are afraid that if it happens again, something can harm them. And Israel told very clearly that if it happens once more, they will not open the Rafah border crossing. Something will have to happen. Hamas is testing our patience, and they're trying every trick in the book just to play on the nerves of the Israeli nation and people and hostages' families. But I think we are determined to pull through at least for the first stage, which will end after 42 days, the beginning of March. And we hope it will go on to the second stage. Now, we know the second stage will be more complex because many people will return in coffins, people that we don't know if they're dead or alive, and Hamas is still refusing to give a detailed report on the situation in each and every one. I think the ones that, at least I personally, I think most of the people are worried about is the mother, Shiri Bibas, and her two babies. Which one was 2 years old and one was 9 months when they were taken hostages and never heard of since. And we don't know if they're dead or alive or what happened with them. And they're still refusing to reveal this information. So I hope it will pull through. What can we say? Our fingers are crossed.
And I guess... You talk about testing of patience. There's no doubt that Hamas is trying to send a signal that they are alive and well and will continue to exist in some way, shape, or form in spite of the Israeli attempts to eliminate Gaza of Hamas, right?
Yeah. Well, I think Israel did a very poor job on the political side of finding a replacement for Hamas. We did not do the job which was supposed to be done. But I think so Hamas eventually is crawling out from the holes in the tunnels, and before they were fighting in civil clothes among the people, and now they're back in uniform and they're all dressed up and shiny. But they think they will maintain control of Gaza. I think what will happen is the pressure, I think mostly from the Trump administration and the Arab nations, they will not fund the recovery of Gaza as long as Hamas is controlling in this way.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So this will be a very interesting point to see what happens. And if the countries who are intending to fund the rebuilding of Gaza will strong stand enough, something will happen. If they will send the money in, Hamas will be back in power in no time. So this is to be seen yet. And it's a very, very touchy situation. Hamas has lost.
No, go ahead.
I said Hamas lost. I don't know. We don't know the exact number, but it can be between 14 and 20,000 of its people in this war. But they have been replacing them very easily because they got control of all the food, which they get for nothing. They sell to the population, and many people, they recruit them with this money. So they have enough money and enough resources. So they have a lot of new people in the ranks, which may be not experienced, but they have the number of people. Yeah.
What do you think the sentiment is amongst the Palestinian people towards Hamas in Gaza? I mean, as a number of these folks return to their neighborhoods, yeah.
We see it here a lot on our media and TV. They're actually split into half. I can't say exactly in half, but they're split. Some of them are really devastated. You know, they come back and there's no house. There's no house, there's no neighborhood, there's nothing, just a pile of rebels. And they're saying, you know, what did we gain with this? What did you do for us? And this is what you did to us, and Hamas should go to hell. Other people say, you know, it's part of our fighting, it's part of the propaganda of the Hamas. Maybe they're saying it out of fear. Maybe they're saying it out of ideology. They're saying, no, well, this is the price we paid. This is, it's a big victory for us. We are still standing, and the Israelis are getting out of Gaza. So we won the war. If this is winning, so let them think they were winning. Gaza is a huge pile of rubble. It's unbelievable what's left there. And it's very interesting, actually, to see. You know, Trump has this idea of transferring part of the population from Gaza into Egypt and Jordan. I don't know if what will happen, but it's interesting that the people of Gaza are saying, we won't move because this is our place and this is our home. But if this is your home, so why are you calling yourself refugees? So you not can't be a refugee at your home. But, you know, they will say whatever it's needed to get sympathy. So I don't know what will happen with them. It's really, part of them go, they went back north, and now they're moving back south, because there's nothing over there. No houses, no infrastructure, and no electricity, no running water, et cetera, so they go back south, to the humanitarian areas.
I mean, I've heard that there's probably less than 10% of the structures remaining that could even be rehabilitated in a short period of time, but that's not going to happen. So, I mean, I would imagine then we're looking at a decade plus number of years before we even have the ability to create suitable housing for any population in Gaza.
You know, it's interesting because it depends how much money and how much effort goes into this. If you remember, at least I remember when I was the pictures of after World War II, you know, when Dresden was ruined totally, it took them 3 years and they built a city. Gaza can be built, but it has to be built in a new way. Not as a refugee camp. They have to build modern houses. They have to build high rises, et cetera, et cetera. Part of it can be built quite fast. But as a city, it will take 5-10 years easily to rebuild it. And we'll have to, again, make sure that they don't rebuild the whole underground infrastructure, which was unbelievable over there. They had about 450 miles of tunnels under this area of Gaza. And at the whole city underground. So if they intend to build that again, I don't know what will happen. We will see.
Yeah, it would seem to me that would be the first order of business to destroy the tunnel, the myriad of tunnels that are running through Gaza at the present.
You have to find it. You know, I think we destroyed maybe over half of it, or 67%, but there's still a huge amount still under there, and we couldn't find everything in Gaza. Even people, you know, who were there, over there with the boots, was a challenge to find them. And some of them have not been located until today. Because you can see we have people over there still. Some of them we know we didn't go into because we were afraid the people are there. So, it's still to be seen. But it's a huge challenge, and I will not say a biblical level, but it's a huge, huge challenge with a lot of money, a lot of effort. And we'll see what will happen. Meantime, they live in tents if they're lucky.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I know a lot of folks here are saying their prayers that the vast majority of the hostages gets released sooner rather than later. Still uncertain, no proof of life, and hope more are alive than are dead. Alex, as always, thank you so much, Colonel Alex Gann, for joining us. Stay safe, my friend.
Thank you, and thank you for everything. Bye-bye. Good night.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us, folks.